Thank you, Astrid, for that wonderful playing. If you want to turn in your bulletin to the call to worship, we wait for God's light to burst into our dark world. Open your eyes, open your ears. Like the valleys and hills, the crooked paths and rough places, we need your mercy to transform us. Kindle in us your merciful love so that we may be freed to serve and worship you in spirit and in truth.
If you need the notes, it's in your hymnal as well, but we've got the words up top.
Praise the one who breaks the darkness with a liberating light. Praise the one who frees the prisoners, turning blindness into sight. Praise the one who preaches gospel, healing every dread disease, calming storms and feeding thousands with the very bread of peace. Praise the one who blessed the children with a strong yet gentle word. Praise the one who drove out demons with a piercing two-edged sword. Praise the one who brings cool water to the desert's burning sand. From this well comes living water, quenching thirst in every land. Praise the one true love incarnate, Christ who suffered in our place. Jesus died and rose for many, that we may know God by grace. Let us sing the one redeeming glory. Praise the one who makes us one.
Thank you, worship team. Welcome, everyone, on this beautiful December Sunday morning. I do have, in your bulletins, you will have seen a little slip of gold paper. This morning, we're handing these strips of paper with your bulletins, and we invite you to write down attitudes, habits, or personal issues that keep you chained in your walk with God. These are meant to be anonymous, so please do not put your name on them. These will be collected during the offering, and we will then offer these barriers or chains to God for healing. The strips of paper will then be turned into chains and added to the visual display at the front of the church. Did anyone not get a piece of that paper in your bulletin? If you didn't, just put your hand up. We'll bring one for you. Okay. Did anyone see that? Okay. And it's so lovely to see so many people here, so many guests, and we welcome you here this Sunday morning. And Ingrid has a children's story for us.
Good morning. I guess you guys are all excited right after this. You get to go practice for Christmas. You see the tree? It magically appears in time for Christmas. Okay, this morning, the people that are staying upstairs are going to be talking about something called mercy. Does anyone know what mercy means? You probably all have experienced mercy. I do it a lot in my job as a teacher. It's what happens to you when you make a mistake and somebody doesn't give you the real consequence for that mistake. So can you think of times, just think about school, that you've kind of messed up a little? And really the punishment should be a phone call to mom and dad, or perhaps the consequence might be that you don't get to go out for recess, and your teacher looks at you and she goes, Alyssa, I know you didn't mean to do it. I'll let the consequence go for today. That's mercy. How does that feel when somebody extends mercy to you? Nobody knows. Yeah. It's humbling, yes, because you should have, Alyssa should have not gone out for recess that day. How does that make, okay, you shouldn't have been able to read your book that day. But you get to anyway. So it makes you feel like, wow, that was really great. And God extends that mercy for us all the time. Because he knows that we're all on the road to somewhere. And that while we're going, the road is going to have a dip, we're going to fall down, we're going to make a mistake, and he's going to say, that's okay, get up and try again. You don't have to stay where you are, you don't have to stay where that mistake happened, get up and try again. Kids know this really well, because this happens every day to you at school, right? How many of you go to school and do everything right every single day, all the time? Some of you think you might. You have really good teachers. But most of us make mistakes all the time. And when we get older, we get to thinking that if we make a mistake, we're done and we don't have another chance. But that's really not true. God says we always have another good chance. And I'm going to read you the verse from the Bible. This is from a letter that somebody wrote to the Philippians. And it says, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day that Christ Jesus appears. So God knows when we're done, we're all going to get there. God knows that. All right, so let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you know the good work you've started in us will be brought to fruition. Thank you very much, and God bless us all. Amen. And you guys can go practice. Have fun.
Please join us in singing The River.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need to meet you there. In these waters, healing mercy flows with freedom from despair. He is called. precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand and lead me closer.
This is always a good idea to take a full stage with electrical wires and fire and then bring children up here. I would like to ask the parents and their children who are going to be dedicated, if you would please come and join me. We're going to try and fit up here. And there are wires on the floor. So while they're coming up, I figured I'd just get this out in the open. I am the most terrible person with names, and we just stand in a semicircle along here. Some years ago, there was a young child who came to be dedicated with their parents, and they had one of those names, could be either gender. I had dedicated this poor boy as a girl, and we hope that he's not permanently damaged for life. Well, just want you to know that this is just such a special time for us as a church to have you all here. Very exciting. I also know we're fighting the clock with babies and not crying. So this morning, the parents have come to dedicate themselves and their children to the care and providence of God. But this has to do with much more than just the people on stage. It includes all of us, those of us who are part of the church and those of us who are part of the extended family. This morning, by being here, we are committing ourselves to be supportive and encouraging to these parents in their parenting role. So that means that you're always good to encourage them, say positive things, and take the kids when they need a night off to babysit. Thought I'd slip that in. To you as parents. As parents, you already know the incredible joy that comes along with parenting. Yes, I know there's work along with that too, and difficult moments. To be given the opportunity to guide the life of a child is an incredible compliment that God has given you. Today you are saying before God and all of us here that you want to teach your children to know and love God as you do, so that one day they can make their own choice to follow Him. By being here today, you are saying that you take seriously the task of guiding your child's life. And something to all you special little children here. You are special to your parents, but you're also special to all of us here, even if we don't know you that well yet. We are your church family. But Jesus tells us that we shouldn't only give you an example and encourage you, but we need to learn from you. So you are our teachers. You're our teachers when it comes to learning how to love each other, to enjoy life, and to be open and eager to learn. Today we are promising you that we will do our best to encourage you to be all that you were meant to be and to teach you about the God who loves you so very much. I've invited the parents today to introduce their children, so we'll start with you, Neil and Ashley, if that's okay.
Good morning. Okay. I'm Ashley, and this is my husband, Anil, and this is our daughter, Daya Lakshmi, and she's 3 months old.
Hello, I'm Veronica, this is Robert, and this is Emily Grace. She's 3 months old. She made her debut August 31st. We had kind of a long road to having children. We had a lot of difficulties along the way, suffered a few losses. So it's very, very special that we get to dedicate our second child today.
Hi, I'm Jean-Michel, and this is Jessica, and this one here is Summer. She's 2.5 years old, and she loves the music and singing during church, right?
Yeah.
And this one here is Alice. She's 11 months old, and she's Summer's biggest fan. her birthday is coming up on December 20th, so she almost shares it with baby Jesus, right?
I'm Jordan, and this is Chantel. And this little guy is Leo Gabriel, and this one is Luke Emil. And yeah, they've been about free from the NICU for about a month and a half now, and they're 2.5 months old. So.
Hi. I'm Rachel, and this is James, and our little puke monster here is Aria Madeline. She was born on July 21st.
Thank you so much. I know that these are very, very precious children to each of you and to your families, many of whom have come to join you here today. We're so glad about that. I have three questions that I'd like to ask to allow you as a group to make a statement. I'll ask it, and if you can just respond collectively. Do you accept the child, your child, as a gift from God? If so, respond, we do.
We do.
Do you commit yourself to model in your lives the way of Jesus for your child to follow? If so, respond, we do. And will you raise your child in the knowledge of God, teaching them the stories of God's love and invitation of life? If so, respond, we will.
If you could, please stand with the families here and grab your blue hymnal. We're going to respond together with number 791. You have offered your child to the strong and tender providence of God. We rejoice with you and give thanks for the gift of your child. We promise with humility and seriousness to share in your child's nurture and well-being. We will support, by our example and words, your efforts to prove a loving and caring home where trust in God grows and Christ's way is chosen. Our prayers will be with you and for you. May our shared life and witness help make your task both joyful and fruitful. Thank you. You may be seated.
Rachel and James. Rachel and James, may the God who has entrusted you with this special little child give you love and parenting and help you to model the way of God for your child. Do you think she'll let me take her? Well, look at this, Aria. Look at all these people. They just think you're wonderful and you're watching the fan. Okay. We just want to know that you are very, very special and we will be praying for you and remembering you. May the God who created you, who sent his son to redeem you and his spirit to watch over you, keep you safe as you grow. Amen. You're doing good. I remember when we had our twins, there were times when we got there for the last song in church, and you got here on time, so good for you.
Yeah.
Jordan and Chantel, may the God who has entrusted you with these wonderful boys give you love in parenting and help you to model the way of his kingdom as you parent. Now, this one's Luke?
Yeah.
Okay, Luke. Let's see if I can. It's been a while. Well, Luke, wonderful to have you here. See all these people, a bunch of family there. They just think you're the most special thing. We were praying for you when you were in the hospital for a few months. Luke, may the God who sent his son to save you, who created you and his spirit to watch over you, keep you safe as you grow. Amen. Well, you look familiar. Leo, we've been praying for you too. You bet we have, for you and your parents and all the family who've been supporting you. May the God who created you, who sent his son to save you and his spirit to care for you, watch over you and keep you safe as you grow. We'll be praying for you. Jean-Michel and Jessica, may the God who has entrusted you with these two lovely, lovely girls give you joy, continue to give you joy as you parent, and wisdom to know how to raise them as you should. Do you want to come with me? No, okay. That's okay. The others didn't know I was scary yet. Well, Summer, you're a very special person to your mom and dad and your grandparents and family, but also to the church here. We just have been thinking about you and praying for you too. So may the God who created you, who sent his son to redeem you and his spirit to watch over you, keep you safe as you grow up. How about you, Alice? You want to come with me? Yeah? Okay. See, your grandma and grandpa, one of them couldn't be here today, so there's a camera up there watching, so you have to smile up there, okay? Well, Alice, it's wonderful to see you too, and we've been praying for you also. May the God who created you, who sent his son to redeem you, and his spirit to watch over you, keep you safe as you grow. Amen. Very pretty shoes. Robert and Veronica, may the God who has entrusted you with both of your wonderful children give you love and parenting and wisdom as you raise your children in the way of God. Emily, you want to come? You are so cute. Yeah. Emily, we've been praying for you even before you were born. Yes, we were. So. There we go. How's that? Is that better? All right. We got a preacher. Got a preacher in the making here. May the God who created you, who sent his son to save you and his spirit to watch over you, keep you safe as you grow. Okay, getting ready for the choir. Ashley and Anil, may the God who has entrusted you with this beautiful child give you wisdom and love as you raise her in the way that way of God. You're going to come to me. Look at this, Dea. All these people. Yeah, there's some candles to look at. Well, it's really special to have you here today. Yes, it is. May the God who created you, sent his son to redeem you and his spirit to watch over you and keep you safe as you grow. We'll be praying for you. Okay.
Right. We would like to offer a prayer for these parents and their new babies. I'm going to ask the couples and their children to come down in front here. And anybody who would like to come be part of a prayer for them can come and put their hands on them or stand around them. And then I will read the prayer. Thank you. That's wonderful. Okay. Gracious God, like a father who nurtures his children, you have cared for us. Like a mother, you have called us by name and claimed us as your own. You have loved us into being, placed us in human families, and blessed us on our journey. By the presence of your Spirit, consecrate these children and their parents, Jessica and Jean-Michel, Summer and Alice, Robert and Veronica with Emily, Jordan and Chantel, Leo and Luke, Rachel and James and Aria, Anil and Ashley with Dea, for the journey together through life. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and be gracious to you. May God's presence embrace you and give you peace. Amen.
I feel like we should be singing a lullaby of some sort, but if you could join us in singing Refiner's Fire, please.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold. Pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be.
Holy,
choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will, ready to do your will.
Thank you, praise and worship team. I can't quite get over the cuteness that just happened here. Not, well, the babies. Take that as you will. So now I'm going to go to our announcements. So if anyone has any announcements, feel free to come up or let me know. I will be highlighting number 10. About the intergenerational Christmas potluck on Wednesday, December 16th at 6 p.m. Come and get to know the youth and attend by attending this potluck dinner. The youth sponsors will provide poultry and stuffing and invite you to bring your favorite Christmas foods. And please sign up at the back if you plan on coming. And everyone is welcome. All right. We'll move into sharing time. And same thing, I'll just highlight 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if anyone has anything to share, get ready, and I'll send someone to bring a mic. All right, so if you look at your bulletin number 1, our condolences go out to Neil and Anita Casper on the passing of Neil's brother, Herman Casper. And the memorial service was held on November 30th. Number 2, our condolences also go out to Erna Martins, Rhonda and Ron Epp, Shelley and Helmut Jansen and their family and friends on the passing of John Martins, and that was held yesterday here at NKMC. And number 3, please continue to keep Walter and Helen fast in your prayers as he recuperates from surgery this last week. And number 4, please continue to keep Hildy Weens in your prayers as she waits for her chemotherapy treatment to begin. And another sharing item is that Peter Sawatsky is currently in Concordia Hospital, so please keep him in your prayers. So if anybody else has anything to share, I'll send Gary or Aaron or around. All right. All right, so then we'll move into a time of prayer. So please bow your heads. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful day and for the opportunity to be together to praise you. Thank you for the gift of new birth, especially for Summer, Alice, Aria, Daya, Emily, Leo, and Luke. Be with them as we welcome them into our church family. God, sometimes it's hard to understand the hurt, loss, and sadness in our world. We pray you be with the friends and families of Herman Casper and John Martins. Also, please continue to be with Walter and Helen Fast and Hildy Weens and Peter Sawatsky during this difficult time. Please be with those outside of our church who are hurting in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, and the rest of the world. Continue to be with the people in Syria who are fleeing for their lives, those affected by the shootings in California, and others who need your support. Thank you for your love, kindness, and mercy. Amen. If you have your piece of paper, please put that in the offering baskets.
This is my favorite Christmas song, carol. It's not really a carol, but my favorite Christmas song.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star dancing in the night, with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees, with a voice as big as a sea, with a voice as big as a sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace war, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child, shivers in the cold, let us bring. Silver and gold, let us bring in silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say, pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. Do you see what I see?
We would like to invite up Mackenzie to introduce her video.
Hi, I'm Mackenzie Zacharias, and I'm in grade 8 at Westgate Mennonite Collegiate. Every Tuesday, first period, we have a 30-minute chapel. We sometimes have guest speakers, or the teacher just talks to us about things that are going on, or personal experiences. For a couple of Tuesdays, though, we talked about the Syrian refugees and all the people that have suffered these last couple years and months. So, that got my grade thinking. What could we do to raise awareness and show that that we have an understanding as well? This is the final copy of our idea. We hope you enjoy and feel inspired like we were and still are. Thank you.
Hamal.
Malula. Palmyra. Damascus.
How many more?
How many more cities ruined?
How much more destruction?
How many more?
How many more refugees?
How many more refugees from
Jordan,
Turkey,
Iraq,
Lebanon,
Syria?
How many more?
Enough.
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 Enough. We need a plan.
As a student,
as a teenager,
as a daughter,
as a son,
as a grandchild,
as a human being,
as a friend.
As a Canadian.
As a Canadian.
For the children.
For the children of this world.
Our world.
My world.
For the children.
For the children of the Middle East.
For the children of Syria.
We need a plan.
We need a plan.
No more.
Masses of people at border crossings.
No more.
No more.
Babies without mothers.
No more.
No more.
Lists of names.
It's not too soon.
It's too late.
Now is the time.
We are of this world.
We are a voice.
We are the next generation. We need a plan.
No more.
If we had just done something yesterday.
It's time.
It's time.
We can do better than this.
It's time.
For our leaders to act.
Let's plant our actions.
Right now.
Right
Now. Right now. You.
Me.
Us. We can do this.
Together we can!
Thank you, Mackenzie, for that powerful video. We can keep that in our mind as I read the scripture. I believe it's in your bulletin. If not, it's definitely in your Bible. So I'll start with Malachi 3, verses 1 to 4. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. Philippians 1, verses 3 to 11. I thank my God every time I remember you, in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, and he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Amen. We can do this. Babies create change. I don't just mean diapers, although they do that too, but they change our lives. Those of you who are just up here can attest to that. All of a sudden your schedule is different, and you don't decide that you're going to stay out late. You decide what your children need, and you follow that. And your money. What money? You don't decide what you're going to do with that either. The children need things, and you buy them, and you start putting away RESPs and all that kind of thing. There's just huge changes in our lives because of our children. And really, we get nothing out of it. I mean, we're all hoping that they sponsor us when we get old and retire. But we do it because why? Because we want to. We see these little things and we say, oh, that's so cute. And we love them and we respond and we do all sorts of things for them. That's mercy. Doing things for them that they don't deserve because we choose to. The baby that we celebrate at Christmas also came to bring change. The Christ child came to change, actually to turn our lives upside down, our church, our community, our world, to change it, to make it better, to help us to be truly human, to be the kind of people that God has meant for us to be. We've been talking about freedom over this Advent, well, we had one Advent Sunday before this. We're talking about freedom. Free to be who God has called us to be. Free to be human in every regard. Last week we talked about justice. We said justice isn't the blindfold lady with the scale in one hand and the sword in the other. Do the right thing or else. Consequences. That is justice in our land and it works well. That's great. But God's understanding of justice means that things are put the way they belong. And that the root of justice is relationship. It's not rules. Relationships. And so we are freed to be in relationship, first of all, with God and then with ourselves. This means a balanced view rather than thinking of ourselves as more or less than we are, a balanced view. The people around us and even the strangers. Jesus always pushes things one step too far. And he says, even with our enemies. So think about that. If we build a relationship with our enemies and turn them into friends, things get fixed. We need to work at that. Okay. And so we are free to experience wholeness of life when we follow the way of God. Today we want to talk about, as we heard in the children's story, mercy. Now mercy is, as Ingrid mentioned, is a bit of a weird term. What is mercy? You know, at the end of Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Some little kid in Sunday school heard that, been talking about the shepherd, said maybe those are two sheep that follow us around. Who knows? There are two Hebrew words that form the basis, which I find really helpful, and hopefully you will too. The one of them is tzedakah, which is loving kindness. The other one is mishpat, I think. Anyhow, it's compassion. My Hebrew is getting a little rusty. It's compassion, and it comes from the same root as the term womb, you know, like where babies are incubated. So both of these terms are really looking at the mothering qualities of God. Now, I know it's 2015, and all of those guys up here could probably hold a screaming child, feed them, clean the house, do laundry, and get ready for guests. You guys are amazing. But this is kind of the gentle side of God, reaching out to give us what we don't deserve. Mercy is never a concept. It's always in the Bible, always an action. It's always a verb. So when it says God has mercy, you know he's doing something. Bringing the slaves out of Egypt, or feeding them in the promised land, or in the wilderness, or giving them the promised land. Always something. And Jesus is doing the same thing. In fact, if you look at Jesus' job description, which is on the back of your bulletin, in case you wonder about Jesus' job description, it comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. And basically, it's Jesus being merciful, saying, well, I'm going to bring good news to the poor, and that's just not talking. That's bringing hope to people who don't have hope. It's bringing sight to the blind and release to captives and all sorts of active things, caring. Now, here's an interesting thing. When God is showing mercy, it's usually to people who are a bit more down and out. Why is that? I think it's because arrogance blocks God's mercy. When we think we've got everything all together and we need nobody and nothing, we can't receive God's mercy. We don't need it. We don't want it. Mary's song in Luke 1, starting at verse 46, said, God brings the arrogant down and lifts up the people who are struggling in life. Kind of cool. So God shows his mercy toward us as well. We see that in many places in the Bible, that God shows his mercy in terms of offering us salvation and forgiveness. In Ephesians 2, there's that passage that most people know. It says, by grace you have been saved through faith. A little bit earlier in Ephesians 2, in verse 5, actually, it says, God, who is rich in mercy, helps us to be the people he's called us to be followers of Jesus. You're getting the short version here. I'll try to cut out all sorts of stuff in between. Now, the fact that we experience God's mercy is wonderful, but here comes the freeing part. When we experience God doing good things for us, like mercy is kind of love in action, I guess, then all of a sudden it starts to spill over to other people. And so all over in the Bible, it keeps saying, care for the people who need you. In the Old Testament, it says, care for the widows and the fatherless and the preachers. They didn't pay them then. And strangers, look after them. When you see them, help them out. And we go into the New Testament and we see the same kind of thing. 1 John chapter 3:17, actually, it says, if you have what you need to live and you see people with nothing, and you say, have a good day, and walk away, John says, you sure the love of God is in you? Are you sure you've experienced God's mercy? Because typically, God pours into us way more than we can hold, and it runs over. So if we're not sharing it, maybe we don't have it. There are lots of places where we show mercy, and I know many of you do during this time of year especially. You help out at Salon Mission, you give food hampers, you donate to lots of different places, and blessings on you. The one we want to take a minute to look at today is refugees, as Mackenzie showed us very well in the video. Thank you so much. That was very creative. There are, at present time, somewhere around 60 million people who are displaced from their homes because of violence. 60 million. Now, 40 million of them are still in their country hoping to get home, and so they're not called refugees. We had a fella from MCC here on Friday. As a church, we're talking about sponsoring a refugee, a number of refugees. And he said that the number of refugees currently is 22 million. 22 million, half of those are children. So I want you to think about the babies that we saw up the front here and the kids at the children's story. Half of the people living in there are children. Some of the people have been in refugee camps as long as 20 years. 20 years. Every day you wake up in the morning and say, will somebody sponsor me today? No. Now, they do school and other things in there, but they're in limbo. There's been a bit of a growing discussion, and unfortunately some of this comes out of the church as well, that says we can't sponsor refugees because some of them will probably be ISIS fighters, and we're going to bring them into our country, and they're going to do bad stuff. Well, a few things to that. Number one, 75% of the refugees aren't from Syria. Number two, half of them are children. Number three, why do you think they're in the refugee camp? They're trying to get away from that stuff. The fellow that was here talking to us about refugees said, you see that there's a lot of single men in there. What are they doing? And he said it was clear. In their countries where they come from, if they're single and they're young men, well, it doesn't matter if they're single or not, if they're young men, they get grabbed by one side or the other to fight in the war. And the only way they can get away from that is run away to a refugee camp. And so you've got this refugee camp full of young guys who are trying not to get caught up in this whole conflict thing. So, bottom line here is, we are invited as people of God to extend mercy, just as we have experienced it. Quick story, and then we'll let you all go for lunch. I read the story, and I do apologize. I like to cite my sources, and this one I don't have. I got it secondhand. There was a lady who was terribly poor, had a number of children, hadn't had food for a couple of days, decided to scrape together all her pennies, go to the store and buy a dozen eggs to feed her children. She goes to the store, sees the eggs, can't believe the price. She's 50 cents short. What to do? She's run out of options. Her children are hungry. So she decides to take the eggs, put them in her pocket, and just walk out the door. She puts the eggs in her pockets, bumps into something, they break, then the eggs are running through her jacket pocket. The clerk sees it, calls security, they call the police. And there she is, bawling her eyes out, saying, I'm a terrible mother, I can't feed my children, and now I'm even a terrible crook, can't even steal food from my children. And then something interesting happens. The store sees what's going on, and the manager says, we're not going to press charges. And the police officer pays for the eggs, pulls out his wallet, pays for the eggs, then goes, gets another dozen eggs, pays for those, gives them to the lady, and says, Merry Christmas. Grace is the store not pushing charges. Mercy is the police officer pulling out his wallet. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't end there. Somebody is sitting there watching, right? And they video the thing and put it on YouTube, and it goes viral. And people see this, find out who the lady is, and for Christmas, she's got her fridge full of food and gifts for the kids. That's what happens. When we experience mercy, it runs over. That's the freedom that this is about. freedom not only to receive from God all those good things, but to become a person who has active love, to become a person of service, who reaches out to our community. The kind of compassion and caring that God invites us to experience. Christmas is a time for us to become truly human as we reach out to care for others, the kind of caring that God has given to us in various ways. Merry Christmas. I'd like to pass along to you a blessing that I pass along each Sunday. And I do that because I think it's just so rich, and especially today, as we had the parent-child dedication, we asked God to bless them. Now it's extended so that the blessing is to all of you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace so that you can share that with your world. Amen.
Would you please stand to sing our final song? We'll end with Mary Did You Know, and then you can go for lunch.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect love? And the sleeping child you're holding is a great